Ask Dr. Saram, episode number 8.
Welcome to Ask Dr. Saram, a podcast about integrative medicine and your health. And now, here is Dr. Saram Khalsa.
Greetings and welcome to Ask Dr. Saram, a podcast about integrative medicine and your health. I am Dr. Saram Khalsa, and this podcast is to help you, your family and friends, take your health to the next level of wellness. Well, we've got one of my favorite topics to talk about today. It is vitamin D. And I'm bringing up the vitamin D subject because, as we all know, we are moved out of summer. It's the beginning of October, and flu season will be moving through. Vitamin D is increasingly being recognized as necessary to help protect us from the flu. It is linked to why perhaps there is more flu in northern hemispheres than in southern hemispheres. And I want to recommend that everybody, even if you're not going to listen to this most informative, the rest of this most informative podcast, go out and start on 2,000 international units of vitamin D every day if you are otherwise healthy. But what I do recommend and what I do in my own practice and for my own self and family is have vitamin D blood levels tested twice a year, preferably in October, November, and then again in March. Why those months? Well, in October, November, we want to make sure that we've got plenty of vitamin D for moving into the winter. Referencing back to that 2005 study that was published that shows that vitamin D plays a crucial role in the production of certain types of white cells that we need for fighting off infections. In my own practice, I find that keeping patients' vitamin D levels at an optimal level definitely has markedly reduced their episodes of flus, colds, and sinus infections. We'll talk about what an optimal level is in a little while. This past week, I've already seen 2 cases of influenza. We drew their vitamin D levels, and they're probably going to be low. We treated them appropriately with an effective medication, and the patients started doing better within a day or two. So it's essential to get your D level up. I recommend a blood level between 40 and 70 nanograms per milliliter for everybody in America, and we're going to talk about all the evidence behind that today. Every week, new information comes out about vitamin D, and I certainly cannot do a podcast a week just on vitamin D. I could, but I don't want to. But a couple new things have come out this week, in the last week or two, that are very exciting about vitamin D to know, that oral steroids may double the risk of vitamin D deficiency. Researchers from Albert Einstein College looked at the data from more than 31,000 children and adults who were part of the NHANES, that's the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, and found that of the participants in this study who were taking oral steroids, they were more than double likely to have a vitamin D deficiency than those who were not taking oral steroids. What's even more amazing is that the study also showed that people who are under the age of 18 who were taking oral steroids were 14 times more likely to have severe deficiency of vitamin D that is essential for their bone growth and for their immune system, as well as their calcium absorption, than children who were not taking steroids. Steroids that we commonly use in medicine are called names like prednisone or methylprednisolone or Medrol. If you have family or friends who are taking these from any variety of conditions, from autoimmune diseases to inflammatory bowel disease, to asthma, to neurological problems, be sure that their doctors are, along when they check their other blood, are getting their vitamin D level, and they probably will need, under their doctor's supervision, a higher level of vitamin D to keep their levels up. In my book that came out 2 years ago, The Vitamin D Revolution, I had a whole section on the importance of vitamin D for preventing fractures and especially for preventing falling in the elderly. The data in the medical literature was so strong at the time of my writing this that I felt completely comfortable talking about it in my book. I am now delighted to say that the European Food Safety Authority, and I think that's an organization that's similar to our FDA, is allowing the health claim that vitamin D may reduce the risk of falling. Falling is a risk factor for bone fractures. And this was applied for by a company called DSM Nutritional Products, and they obtained the right to say that because the evidence is getting increasingly strong about the ability to help prevent the risk of falling in the elderly. Specifically, they say that the governmental agency said the panel concluded that a cause and effect relationship has been established between the intake of vitamin D and a reduction in the risk of falling. So again, if you have elderly parents or relatives, or if you are elderly yourself, be sure to get your D level checked, but be sure to take a sufficient amount of vitamin D to keep your blood levels in the normal range, which is above 34 nanograms per milliliter. And I recommend keeping it between 40 and 70. Toxicity does not start until blood levels are above 100, and some people say 150 before toxicity starts. Speaking of toxicity, my good friend, who's an ear, nose, and throat doctor, called me this week to say that one of his patients for 6 months had been taking a calcium magnesium product manufactured by a company called Now, N-O-W. The product was labeled to contain 600 units of vitamin D, which is a common thing that is put into calcium magnesium products, and the products were subsequently found to have between 30,000 and 40,000 IUs per 3 soft gels, period. This patient was having medical problems, high blood pressure, and was seeing his other doctor, and my doctor friend was asking if there's anything that I could do to help, because I work with a lot of vitamin D issues, and the main thing is to stabilize the patient with regards to vital signs, and then keep them out of the sun, make sure they're not taking products with any vitamin D until their toxicity levels come down. My doctor friend did not know how high his patient's levels were, but the patient was complaining that he had been overdosed by this product. On their website, the Now company apologizes and specifically says that the products affected had their product code 1251 and 1252, and they recommend their other calcium magnesium products. And of course, they recommend consulting a doctor if you are sick. Well, this is very unfortunate that this has happened, and it's very hard for companies that are making huge amounts of products to have the kind of quality control that I feel is essential. In another study that I talk about on my blog about a year ago, the Multiple Sclerosis Consortium of Doctors bought 10 brands of vitamin D at the health food store and internet and found that none of them contained what was on the label. On average, the products contained 34% of what was on the label. This is the reason when I brought my book out, if I can put a promotion in for my own product, that I private labeled a vitamin D product, which is manufactured by a company that only makes products for physicians' offices. They do not make it for sale in health food stores. And I had worked with this company for at least 15 years and knew the quality of their products. Their quality control, good manufacturing practices is much higher than companies that keep pumping out products at the health food store. And they have a third-party independent test of the vitamin D in each of the products, and I am delighted to say that my product is a very solid and accurate amount of vitamin D on the label. And I see this over and over because all of my patients, as well as my family and friends and myself, take this vitamin D, and we measure blood levels and they respond very appropriately. We have not had any underdosing, and we have had no overdosing. So if you or your family were taking these Now products, please discontinue them and consult your doctor and see where you are on your vitamin D level. One final new study that came out that appeared in the American Journal of Respiratory and Critical Care Medicine has added that vitamin D deficiency may also negatively affect respiratory health. Specifically, they found low vitamin D levels were associated with more severe symptoms among young people who had respiratory challenges. They weren't sure the mechanism of action, but they suggested that too little vitamin D can cause cell level changes to the tissues of the trachea and lungs. And again, this shows the relationship and the importance of vitamin D for our respiratory system, and again, with regards to how we open today, talking about the influenza season that is starting. So this brings us to the issue of vitamin D in general, and I want to give some education to all of you about the importance of vitamin D and why I wrote this book on vitamin D and why I think it's so important that people follow their D levels. Vitamin D is not really a vitamin. It is a hormone, and it's a hormone that interacts directly with our immune system, has many immune supporting properties and many properties, of anti-inflammatory properties. But I wrote this book because there's basically two epidemics going on in our world today. Number one, there's an epidemic of vitamin D deficiency worldwide. It's estimated that 1 billion people worldwide have vitamin D deficiency. And number two, there's still an epidemic of ignorance about vitamin D deficiency. And that is why I wrote my book, and there is still increasing confusion about vitamin D, which I want to talk about. How did we all get so vitamin D deficient? In this day and age when vitamins are everywhere and we hear about them and we're taking them, and basically most all of us are using sunblock, and that's the beginning of it. And some 15 or 20 years ago, the American Society of Dermatology recommended we avoid the sun and use sunblock with sun protection factors very high, above 15, and so that we could prevent skin cancer. And this has been very effective in preventing skin cancer. However, the same sun that is blocked by the sunscreen blocks us from being able to absorb the sun in the right frequencies to make vitamin D in our body. Remember, as I've said before, the foods that have vitamin D are not very many. Fatty fish, for example, mackerel will contain, a serving will contain about 400 units of vitamin D. The milk and orange juice with vitamin D have all been added vitamin D and fortified by the industry, by the companies manufacturing them. And most milk today doesn't even have vitamin D added. So our vitamin D is, as a rule, very deficient. And there are complex formulas for getting vitamin D by going out in the sun with your arms and legs bare. But there are many factors. In fact, there are 11 factors that affect our ability to get vitamin D. These factors include the latitude at which you live, the season of the year, the altitude of your city, the time of day, the amount of air pollution and cloud cover, the amount of sunblock you're using, the melanin content of the skin, your age, your weight, and the amount of clothing covering your body. I will put this list of factors on the show notes from today's podcast. Vitamin D deficiency, why am I so passionate about this? It's been associated with 17 types of cancer: heart attack, stroke, osteoporosis, multiple sclerosis, childhood asthma, diabetes, chronic pain, autoimmune diseases, as I've already mentioned, influenza, as well as seasonal affective disorder and autism. In fact, vitamin D deficiency in pregnancy and in early childhood is associated with the triple childhood epidemics that we have today, which are childhood asthma, juvenile diabetes, and autism. Because of vitamin D deficiency, the impact of vitamin D deficiency on society, the economic burden, is estimated at between $40 billion and $56 billion per year. If the government were to send everybody in America simply 1,000 IU of vitamin D as a bottle every month and say, take one a day, it is estimated that we would reduce the annual cost of cancer treatment by $16 to $25 billion per year. It is estimated that 70% of American children have insufficient levels of vitamin D. And the shocking information is that over 50% of women who have been given a bisphosphonate family of medicines for their osteoporosis are walking around with a vitamin D deficiency. Why is that relevant? Well, if these women are vitamin D deficient, when they take their calcium pills, they cannot absorb the calcium unless their blood level of vitamin D is above 34 nanograms per milliliter. That's what facilitates digestive absorption of calcium. So over 50% of women being given a drug because they have osteoporosis, if they were to take vitamin D without the drug, they would also be able to gain bone back. And I have seen this many times in my practice, that women come to me because I'm an integrative doctor, and they'll say, I've been given this bisphosphonate drug for my advanced osteopenia or osteoporosis. Should I take it? We measure their vitamin D level. 90% of the time, it's an extreme deficiency. We normalize and optimize their vitamin D, continue their calcium, wait a year without the drug, and sure enough, almost every time, their bone densities will come up without needing the pharmaceutical drug. This seems like magic, but it's just basically good doctoring. Furthermore, it is shown through epidemiologic studies that if every woman in America had a vitamin D blood level of above 52 nanograms per milliliter, that we would reduce the incidence of breast cancer by 50%. Joan Lapp, in her study, gave women 1,100 units of vitamin D and 1,000 milligrams of calcium and followed them over a period of only 4 years. There was a reduction over those in 4 years of women that were given this combination versus women who were not given the combination of cancer by 60%. And they were able to calculate for every blood level 10 nanograms per milliliter increase in vitamin D, the relative risk of all cancers dropped by 35%. In the Goodwin study, which again was a retrospective study, those women who were diagnosed with as by being having vitamin D deficiency at the time of diagnosis, when they looked back on their blood from 10 years before, were 73% more likely to die from breast cancer than those who had sufficient vitamin D at the beginning of the study. In addition, the famous Health Professionals Follow-Up Study by Dr. Giovannucci found that men who were deficient in vitamin D were 242% more likely to have a heart attack compared with men who had a blood level that was in the normal range. This was after, and then when they removed other factors such as lifestyle, cholesterol, exercise level, body weight, when they excluded those factors, there was still a 209% higher risk of heart attack in men with low vitamin D than in men with a higher level of vitamin D. And this is why I am so passionate about recommending that everybody get their blood level checked twice a year to make sure you're staying in a normal range. Now, it's very easy to get a blood level with your doctor if they're willing to do it. I have made available through my website a at-home finger stick blood test. You don't get the answer right away. It's not like a pregnancy test, but you poke your finger with same kind of little instrument that a diabetic uses to poke their finger to get their blood. You put your blood on a blotter, a little blotter paper. You let it dry and mail it to the lab, and 2 to 3 weeks later, you'll get your blood level back in the mail. I made this available so that people without a doctor, who people don't have health care, are able to get their own D level. You can find this on my website, drsaram.com. Or again, if you do this and you have a doctor, you can get your level and bring it to your doctor for guidance on how to treat the vitamin D. A common thing that I see in patients, just to let everybody know, is that they will find their doctor will get a low vitamin D level on a blood test. The doctor will appropriately prescribe a dose of vitamin D for 8 weeks, and that will be it. The patient will not be told to take any more D after the 8 weeks. A follow-up blood test will not be done, and that is just not correct. And we're going to talk about that in a few minutes on my tips about vitamin D. Most all of us need to take vitamin D every day. I have some patients who are surfers and go out in the summer, and those patients do not usually need to take vitamin D because if they don't use sunblock, they are getting sufficient sun. And we know that lifeguards, if they don't use sunblock, can get a blood level as high as 100 nanograms per milliliter, which I said is the maximum thought to be safe. But obviously, these lifeguards are very healthy, and it's in no way hurting them to have a blood level of 100 nanograms per milliliter. I want to address the recent Institute of Medicine, IOM, of the United States government and their comments and recommendations on vitamin D. Up until their recent announcement, they had recommended 400 international units of vitamin D to everybody as a maintenance level for protecting bone health. We, that's doctors who, like me, who have been very involved in vitamin D, were aware that late last year the Institute of Medicine was having a big meeting to discuss raising the levels. We were all hoping that they would raise the recommended levels to 1,000 units per day, and some of us, of course, were hoping 2,000 units a day. And after their extreme deliberation, the recommendation that they came out with is that it should be raised only to 600 international units per day. Many of us were heartbroken that the recommendations for Americans was not made higher. And I was looking into the reason for this, and John Cannell on his website, on the Vitamin D Council website, has written about how none of the members of the sitting members of the Institute of Medicine were vitamin D researchers themselves. In addition, They did solicit from, I believe, about a dozen world-famous vitamin D researchers comments upon their recommendations before they reached them. But according to my reading of what Dr. Connell said, these recommendations were not taken really into consideration or thought to not have been taken into consideration with their recommendation of only 600 units. The rationale that the Institute of Medicine gave is based once again on traditional medicine. They were only looking at bone health. They did not look at the cancer data. They did not look at the multiple sclerosis data. They did not look at the colon cancer data. They did not look at the heart data. And the rationale and the reason behind that was that most of these studies, as I pointed out in my book, are retrospective and epidemiological, and they are not double-blind crossover placebo-controlled trials. Really, the Institute of Medicine only looked at the double-blind crossover placebo-controlled trials, and at this time, the studies that we have for of that nature are only about bone health. However, so many studies, hundreds if not thousands of studies, are showing the relationship between vitamin D deficiency and all these diseases. We were hoping that they would look at that and at least make a comment about it. However, that is still their recommendation. However, my recommendation, as I've already told you, is the average healthy, the normal healthy adult should take 2,000 international units a day of a quality, good quality product to stay healthy. If you have blood levels, which we're going to talk about, then you can refine it and be much more precise about it. For children, newborns should take 400 units per day as soon as they are born, and that is an official recommendation of the American Academy of Pediatrics. And once children are 1 year old, I recommend to my patients to give their children 1,000 international units per day. Again, I'm not allowed to prescribe for you and anything, any of my recommendations. You must take them back to your own doctors and have a conversation about that. And I am happy to entertain any questions that you have about this by writing to me at questions@askdrsaram.com, or you can phone in your questions at my hotline at 310-499-0275. I realize that the time now has really gotten along and that this podcast is running over my normal amount of time, and I want to try to stay consistent with the timing. So I'm going to bring closure at this time to this podcast. Next podcast, next week, I'm going to talk about the myths about vitamin D, and then I'm going to give everybody 7 tips for managing your own vitamin D level. So I really appreciate your listening today. I look forward to finishing my vitamin D conversation for this season with you at the next podcast, and look forward to carrying on and continuing. So please stay tuned, and we will continue next week.
Thank you for listening to the Ask Dr. Saram podcast. For more information about Dr. Saram's work, links to resources mentioned in this episode, or to invite him to speak at your event, please visit his website at www.askdrsaram.com. That's www.askdrsaram.com. You can submit your questions for the podcast by calling the voicemail question hotline at 310-499-0275. That number again is 310-499-0275. Or you may email your question to questions@askdrsaram.com. Thank you. This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not to be considered medical advice. Consult your personal physician before you undertake any health-related regimen or program, or before ingesting any vitamin or supplement product.